So for me, for a pet dog, or literally any dog, to live with a dog, let's just call it to live with a dog, this for me is the most important skill inside the house. So for me, the two most important skills are walking nicely on a lead for when you're outside of the house. This is number one in the outside environment. And inside environment, go to your bed. Because here, if a dog understands a bed or a place command, it doesn't matter if they can sit, down, stand, whatever it might be, you can solve most issues with them being able to go to their bed and stay there. So I'm really big as well, like we're talking about pet dog owners, is focusing on one thing and getting that really strong instead of trying to do five different things and not perfecting any of them. So if you're going to teach one skill, it would be place or bed. But for me, it's hugely important because so many behavior problems can be solved and or prevented by the use of it.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your dog training host, Melissa Vieira.
Hello and welcome back to the Pet Care Report. While there are many skills that we can train our dogs, it might be a little bit less overwhelming for pet parents to focus on a few essential skills in the beginning. But what exactly are these skills and how do you go about training them? Today's guest is going to tell us about one of those essential skills. Joining us today is Chris Loverseed. Chris is an esteemed entrepreneur, dog behavior expert, and the visionary behind Positive Canine Training. With over 13 years in the field, Chris combines his vast expertise with innovative digital strategies to redefine dog training. Today, we're going to learn more about Chris's positive first approach. So before we jump into today's essential skill that we're going to tell pet parents all about, Chris, thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us a little bit more about your business and your background training?
Hello, everyone, and thank you for your very kind words. So I guess a little bit about myself. I started this business about 14 years ago now. So I guess as most dog trainers, you get a dog that has some issues, you go down the path of learning, you get the bug, and then it was pretty organic. It wasn't something that I set out to do, if that makes sense. So I had a corporate job and all those things. And then as time went by, things just started to evolve. So like with online training, equipment, grooming salon, digital consulting for pet businesses, and so on and so forth. But yeah, that's pretty much my background in a nutshell. Obviously, it would be a very long story, but that's a long story short.
Yeah, so your company is offering both in-person and online training, correct?
Correct. So I guess we've got a couple of sides to it. So you've got like PK9 Training, which is our face-to-face training business. So there I have a team of 18 staff, and we probably help about 300 dogs and the owners every week. So we've got group classes, puppy schools, in-home training, assistance dog training, animal acting, like the full nine yards.
Very cool.
Yeah, then obviously we have the online component as well. So I guess the reason why we started that was, honestly, lockdown was a part of it. So obviously you're in the US, you didn't cop it as bad as us. But so where I live in Melbourne, we were the most locked down city in the world.
Yeah.
So we couldn't go further than 5 kilometers from our house. Like we couldn't do anything. So I started it then. But honestly, it became a little bit of a passion project because I'm really big on believing that most pet parents, dog owners, whatever word you want to use, fur parents, we can go down that path, is the biggest issue people face is having access to the right information. Because if people know what to do, they can avoid so many behavior problems. So I really want to help people, I guess, give them a platform where it's, I guess, affordable, because I'm sure you're aware, like one-on-one dog training for a lot of people is out of reach. It's a luxury. It's not a cheap thing. So by having like an online platform, it's extremely affordable and people get access to literally everything we'll still teach in our face-to-face sessions, but just online.
Yeah. And I think the other part of that is it's just so overwhelming with the amount of information out there for pet owners. Like, where do you even start with that? So somebody trying to train their dog themselves at home, they get on the internet and there's so much conflicting information. So that is not always very helpful. But having a professional service that can guide you step by step, I think is a really great idea. So that's really neat that you're able to offer that and that you're doing that for so many dog owners each week. That's really important.
Yeah. And trying to keep people off Google or something. Last night we had some friends over and one of them comes, it's a whole family of doctors, and they were talking about like the last thing you want to do is doctor hop, because every single doctor is going to have a different treatment plan. So you have to pick one and stick with it.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So this essential skill we're going to talk about today, speaking of there being so much information out there, it can be helpful for pet owners to focus in on a few essential skills, maybe when they're first starting out. So we're going to discuss training dogs to go to their bed or go to their place, which is something you often do with your clients or your company does with the clients. And can you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like for you? Of course, there's many different ways to train this and many different styles. So what exactly does the place or bed cue look like for you?
Yeah, good question. I'll just say, I guess, yeah. So many people also get confused on the terminology. Like, obviously, in the US, place is what most people say, but bed, mat, essentially just teaching your dog to go to an object and staying there. So, because eventually, after a while, you can generalize it as well. Like, so it can start off as your dog's bed or like something that's raised and then go to like a park bench or a rock or whatever it might be. But in short, just teaching your dog to go to one spot and staying there. I almost look at like one way of looking at it as well. It's almost like teaching a dog to be mindful to a certain extent, where they just have to go to a place and just focus on one thing and one thing only, which is just being still on this object and not getting off, which can be tricky for some dogs.
Absolutely. It can be tricky for a lot of dogs. So do you use any type of release signal? So are they staying on that place until told otherwise?
Yeah, good question. So I guess for us, we're always big on implied stays. I know obviously this can vary across different trainers. So for those at home that don't know what an implied stay is, so any stationary position, whether it's sit, down, stand, bed, place, you want your dog to stay there, or we want dogs to stay there until we give them a release command. So generally speaking, we use a word such as free, break, go, whatever you want to use. It literally signifies that this exercise is over and you can now get off. So dog goes onto its bed. You say free, now the dog can move. I guess for us, the exception to the rule is, so there's always exceptions to the rule. Now, it all depends how old school the trainers are. So you have some trainers that will sit there and say, hey, you know, if you told the dog to go to its place, the dog falls asleep and wakes up, it should still stay there. I don't believe in this at all. Like, I mean, if you tell your dog to go to the place and they get off after they wake up, like, this is completely fine. And I'm also big on what we call like obedience with exceptions. So I'm not sure if you're across this concept as well. Like, let's say, for example, the dog's on its bed and, you know, another dog comes up and starts making it feel really uncomfortable, or a child comes up and starts trying to poke it. Like, I'm more than happy for the dog to then move out of that command as well.
I couldn't agree more with that. That's huge. Now, when a dog is on their place, are you looking for a specific position or should the dog just be comfortable?
Yeah, good question. So for me, I guess initially, I don't care if a dog does handstands or whatever it is on there, because eventually after a while, the dog will learn like, hey, I can't get off, so I might as well get comfortable. And so ultimately what you want is, it's like relaxation on cue, because eventually the dog knows, well, hey, I'm going to the bed, I can't get off, I might as well just kick back and relax. Because you'll find most dogs, especially high energy dogs, they go there initially and they're just egging to get off or a release to go do something else. But eventually after a while, once you do this enough, they learn how to self-soothe, self-settle, whatever word you want to use to describe it, just to go there and chill out. So ideally, you just want to see a dog just kicking back or relaxing.
And they're allowed to shift positions and move around in your training methodology, I would assume. So if they start in a down, they can kind of stretch out. And
as long as the dogs don't get off that object,
yeah,
I'm fine. They can get up, they can adjust and all those types of things. Yeah, I'm not really big on like, hey, the dog, once they're down on there, they can't move. Like, I'm more than happy for the dog to get up, adjust, all those things.
Yeah.
No different to us. Like, hey, if you're lying down and you want to sleep and have a nap, like, you might as well be comfy.
Right, absolutely. And we're going to talk more about the uses of place later on, which will bring us more of, like, how long should a dog actually stay on there. But just to give us an idea, is this a long-duration behavior? Are you using it for a little bit longer than a few minutes, or is it typically just a quick navigating to the target and then release? Or maybe it depends on the situation.
Yeah, the latter. So it really depends on the situation. So it can be a quick exercise or it can be a duration exercise.
So why is this one of the most important things that you teach your clients? I'm sure there are many other important things, but I think this is rated pretty high on there for one of the essential skills. And why is that?
Yeah, I'd say, so for me, for a pet dog, or literally any dog, to live with a dog. Yeah, let's just call it to live with a dog. This, for me, is the most important skill inside the house. So for me, the two most important skills are walking nicely on a lead for when you're outside of the house. This is number one in the outside environment. And inside environment, go to your bed. Because here, if a dog understands a bed or a place command, it doesn't matter if they can sit, down, stand, whatever it might be. You can solve most issues with them being able to go to their bed and stay there. So I'm really big as well, like we're talking about pet dog owners, is focusing on one thing and getting that really strong instead of trying to do five different things and not perfecting any of them. So if you're going to teach one skill, it would be place or bed. But for me, it's hugely important because so many behavior problems can be solved and or prevented by the use of it. So let's say, for example, your dog's annoying you whilst you're having dinner. If your dog knows to go to their bed, you don't have this problem. You don't want a dog jumping up on the couch, they go to their bed. You don't want a dog charging up and jumping on visitors when they come through the front door, they go to their bed. You're vacuuming, you're mopping, you're sweeping, they go to their bed. Like, it's just such a practical exercise. And because so many people are focused on trying to tell the dogs what not to do, here it really gives you a chance on teaching your dog what to do instead.
Absolutely. And one thing you mentioned is training one skill well. So not just starting something and kind of leaving it uncompleted, but making sure you train that through so that you have something that's strong and that's solid with the dog. But how can pet parents actually measure that? So how can they tell that that skill has been trained start to finish and they have it pretty down pat?
Yeah, good question. I'll say, because I'm not sure in America, do you still, it's like obviously we've got different terminology across the state, so to speak. Do you guys use the 3 Ds?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Distance, yep, duration. Yeah. So I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you cover it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Like, obviously, terminology can vary so much. Yes. Yeah, so I guess so. For people watching at home, so any stationary position, or literally anything you do in dog training, really, you want to work on what we call the 3 Ds. So distance, duration, distraction. So let's just take into example teaching a dog to go to the bed and stay there, yeah? So first and foremost, let's talk about duration. There's no point only having the dog stay on there for 30 seconds. You want to be able to build it up to at least 15 minutes. Now, the reason why I say 15 minutes is because once you get to that, you generally don't have an issue with half an hour, everything else. By that stage, you've hit 15 minutes. Most dogs will generally self-settle and relax. So that's your duration part. The next part's distraction. So you want to be able to, and the way I always look at it, in training, they say it's no different with preparing for a fight. You always want your training to be harder than reality because so many people, training is easier than real life. That's when they then run into issues. So let's just talk about the distraction component. All righty. Let's say you need to be able to prepare your dog for, you know, the doorbell ringing, people walking through the front door, hellos, all this excitement, people bringing you food. If your training doesn't replicate this or is harder than this, you're really going to struggle. So you want to be able to make sure, well, can your dog stay on the bed as you're vacuuming, as you drop food, as you kick a soccer ball around, whatever it might be, as you do star jumps, as you do push-ups, as just do some crazy stuff. Yeah, completely out of ordinary. As you ring doorbells, as you throw tennis balls past them, this is really your distraction part of it, yeah? Then your distance part here can also come into two parts as well. So how far away can you be with your dog when you send them to that object, but also how far away can you be with your dog staying on the object? So, for example, you want to be able to be at the front door, your bed's near the kitchen, and be able to send your dog to the object, but also have your dog reliably stay there whilst you are, you know, 10 meters, which is 33 feet away from them.
Yeah, and I like that you broke the distance up into those two components, because I think a lot of pet owners do get confused about that distance part, because of course there is the distance of, you know, can you go finish cooking your dinner while your dog remains on the place, even though your kitchen is a room away? But also, if you're already cooking dinner and your dog's at your feet, can you send your dog away from you? Can you get your dog to navigate all the way over to that place? So that's huge. And those are all separate training sessions, right? So that's
going to
take, yeah. And I like the distraction component. You make it sound very interesting, which is important as well.
Yeah, it has to be like novel, like just really random. But one thing I did want to touch on, I just remembered as well, because we spoke about release commands before. So we're not staying on there until you release them. And one issue I find with a lot of pet parents or dog owners in general is not understanding arousal levels and classical conditioning. So what I mean by that is, so many people, they have a release command that can lead to excitement, so to speak. So they'll like break and the dog can go off and chase a tennis ball or bite a toy or chase food. And I guess when we're trying to teach calm exercises, like go to your bed, when you tell your dog free off of bed, you don't want the dog jumping out like a bull in a china shop. So many people, they condition their release commands to be explosive, like dog's going to sit, free, boom, you can go off and chase a tennis ball. So it all depends on the owners, but I do recommend, if you have conditioned your release command to have excitement around it, to teach it separate release commands. So I generally like the word finish. So for some people, so finish for the dog has a really calm annotation to it. It's like sit, all right, finish. You just, there's no expectation after the release.
That makes a lot of sense. And when you begin training this, do you usually recommend using food, toys? Probably not toys, because we talked about that excitement level a little bit. So what does it look like when you first start training this?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, we always recommend using a leash and food initially as well. Going back to the whole food thing, we're really big on the dogs working for their daily food intake. So instead of just putting your puppy's food, your dog's food all in a bowl, splitting this up into training sessions. So the reason why we use a leash is to just help guide the dog, but also prevent mistakes from learning. Because I guess, what's the best way of looking at it? If dogs rehearse behaviors, that's what they learn, so to speak. So with a leash, like we're not there to correct the dog or anything like that. We can just simply help block them. Like let's say if a dog goes to walk off the bed, we can just block them and guide them back to the right behavior. But also as well, like when you are teaching, like let's say, like you don't want the dog to chase the cat. Well, if you don't have a leash on the dog,
right,
they're going to chase a cat and there's nothing you can do to stop them. Or squirrels. Everyone loves squirrels in America. I still haven't seen one.
Yeah, squirrels are quite the excitement around here. Yeah, so when you're starting to train this, do you recommend leaving the place down all the time or putting it down just for training sessions?
Yeah, look, this is actually a really good question. And you have two thoughts or two different camps on this. So me personally, like I just leave my beds and my places out because my dog chooses to go there on their own free will and they choose to go there on their own free will. I always look at there's a big difference between like a commanded position and something the dog does at liberty, because some people sit there and say, hey, well, you don't want to leave your place out there because you don't want your dog to rehearse bad behavior on there. But for me, on the flip side, you can then say, all right, well, you don't want your dog to lie down unless you ask them to, because they can rehearse bad lying down behavior. It goes with the same part for me. So yeah, I just leave the beds out. If the dogs want to go, lie on the beds. But I'm also big on that part as well. Like, so obviously rewarding the dog for choices they make on their own. So for me, the more the dog goes to their bed and just chills out naturally by choice, I will always reward this behavior, because most people, especially dog owners, pet parents, they want their dogs to be proactive in behavior choices. So for me, I'm really big on rewarding dogs that make good choices on their own. So I didn't ask them to go to their bed or their place. If a dog's just gone there on their own, I will always acknowledge this behavior.
I think that's great training for the humans as well of how to be more mindful of the dog's behavior, because it's so easy to forget about them when they're actually being well behaved, right? When they're up in our face and they're then it's a little easier to notice them. So it's great training for the humans.
Like, let's say we're talking about the dinner table, you know, and so many people, like, the dogs will come up and they'll either pat the dog when they're at the dinner table, you know what I mean? And they're rewarding that behavior. But if a dog's being a good boy on their bed, they don't give any attention. So it's so big to be mindful on this.
Absolutely. Now, what about multiple dog homes? Do you often use the place when homes have more than one dog?
Yeah, definitely. I guess so. Multi-dog households, I guess we could do a whole nother.
Oh, yeah.
There could be a very lengthy one as well, all depending if you have issues and that stuff. But just touching on the bare basics of it, yeah. So for me, multi-dog households, I do recommend having separate dogs for separate beds or places, because the main thing is, I guess, probably the biggest issue people face with multi-dog households is codependency and dogs becoming overly attached upon one another. So in an ideal world, you want to be able to have one dog on a bed, call the other dog off, move that dog to a different place, and have the dogs independent from one another and not have massive FOMO and start screaming and carrying on like,
right,
you know, where's Bob going? How come I can't follow Bob?
Yeah, it's great for training practice too. I know with my group of dogs, having the place, I can work with them all at once when I'm kind of short on time. So they're all on their places and I can still do their sessions together instead of having them all out like around me at one time. The place kind of organizes that training session a little bit. So it can be really helpful.
Especially like for me with client dogs, I use this a fair bit. Like I don't train as much as I used to, but I still got some VIP clients. But like I'll just grab a couple of them at the same time and just so much easier. That way, like, yeah, you've also got improved, like, greater distraction, got more variables. And even though, like, yeah, you're doing healing with one dog, the other dog's still rehearsing and being rewarded for a good behavior.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do you have a preferred place to start with this? So are you starting with the distance, duration, or distraction? Or does it, again, depend on the situation and the client's goals?
Look, I think every dog you start off with literally – no distraction, no distance, no duration. You start there, dog goes on, you're rewarding the behavior, couple of seconds, release, guide back on, and then gradually over time, you build it up.
Now, do you have any tips for anyone that might be struggling with trying to train this at home? So they're listening to this episode, they start training it. What is making them struggle commonly? What is that number one mistake that you typically see?
So probably two, but they go into the same thing. Expecting too much too soon would probably be the biggest mistake. Because you understand, just getting 1% better a day over a year is a massive improvement.
Yeah.
Not using a leash is probably the biggest mistake. So because that way the dogs are rehearsing all sorts of behavior they don't want them to rehearse.
And how much quicker are those training sessions when you set the dog up to succeed instead of, you know, chasing the dog around and trying to reset? It's just like good time management too to prevent that. Yeah,
quicker, but also, yeah, the dog actually learns something. Because a lot of you want the dog to learn to piss off, run away from you, and do a whole bunch of behaviors you don't want them to do.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any other tips that you would like to share with our listeners, whether it's regarding the place or just any important tips that you want to make sure that you get out there?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think going back to what we touched on before is being proactive with your dog. So proactively rewarding your dogs whenever they make good choices. Because I always look at it like, for me, there's two types of dogs. Yeah. You got the reactive, that's why I say reactive and people are going to go off another, like, you got like a reactive dog or a proactive dog. So when we talk about reactive in this setting, I mean a dog that's always waiting for you to give commands versus proactive, where a dog that's learned how to make better choices. So just acknowledging your dogs for when they do something good without you asking them, for me, is probably the biggest piece that so many people are missing. They always wait for the dogs to do something wrong to tell them off, or for a training session, but they're not proactive. Because I look at it this way. So many people, they have children Yeah. And training your child isn't something that you go out and do for 1 hour on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, honey, I'm just going to take Bobby outside and just train him for a little bit. Like, every waking moment with them is a training opportunity. And it's no different with your dog. So just being really mindful and present with your dogs, but knowing that, hey, like, whenever they're making good choices, you should acknowledge them for this, for me, is huge.
This is great information, Chris. Thank you so much. So I want to make sure our listeners know exactly where to find you and where they can sign up for some of this training. So can you tell us where the best place is to find your business and to find you?
Yeah, so probably social media, to be honest. So Instagram is where we're most active. So just search Positive Canine Training and you can find us. If you want to do online training, it's just pk9online.com. And if you're in Australia, pk9.com.au.
And all of these links will be right here alongside the podcast. So it'll be easy to click on those links and to find you. And I think we covered it all for today. So thank you again for being here. Again, those links will be there for any of the listeners that want to hop on over. And we just want to encourage you to subscribe and to share this episode so that we can reach more pet owners with valuable information and experts such as Chris. Thank you again for being here. Until next time.
Thank you.